Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
And now, without further ado, I'd like to invite up Ben Mascara.
Woo!
Well, good evening. Great to be back with you. Join me in a word of prayer, would you? Father, we're just grateful to be your children. Thank you that you've called us here tonight, Lord, to study your word. And Lord, we just ask for that work of your Holy Spirit, that Lord, you would truly teach us tonight, that you would inspire your word to our hearts, and that, Lord, you would even make application for us tonight. So, Lord, we commit our evening to you, and Lord, we just really do invite your presence, Lord, to minister tonight among your people. We bless you tonight, Lord. We're thankful for every good thing you've ever done. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so we're in the book of Romans, continuing on. Now, for those, how many of you have been here from the very beginning, Romans chapter 1? Well done. Well, for those that are familiar with the book of Romans, we are now finished with the doctrinal portions of the book of Romans and talk about some beautiful truths to understand doctrinally concerning justification and sanctification and glorification, all those things, but primarily the justification by faith, is a profound teaching in the book of Romans. And I hope that you were able to grasp that if you were with us. If you're not, I hope that you have a good understanding of that, because that really is the foundation of the second half of this book of Romans that we're dealing with, which started in our last chapter, chapter 12. And he started off and he says, therefore, by the mercies of God, the mercies of God meaning all that stuff we talked about in those former chapters, the good doctrine, what God has done for us and saving us, therefore, by the mercies of God, I would ask that you would present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of service. And so now we're dealing with, now that we know that we're his kids, we're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven our sins, all these wonderful truths that we just examined. Now, what do we do with all that? Well, we present our bodies. And now we have to live a very practical life, don't we? Because that's a wonderful truth to know that we are forgiven of our sins, that we have the hope of heaven. But what about this life? How do we navigate this life? And these are very practical things that we'll be looking at tonight in the 13th chapter. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 13. And this is where we're going to pick up tonight. Romans chapter 13. It says, let everyone or every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you not want to be afraid of the authority? Then do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Now, I'm not too sure about you growing up, but I have heard in the past that there are two subjects that you should shun away from in public context and conversing with people, and that would be religion and politics. Well, we're going to break the taboos and talk about both tonight, and that's exactly what we're concerning ourselves with, is this idea of governing authorities. Now, there's no doubt about it from what we just read, that God desires his children to be law-abiding citizens. We are to obey the laws of the land and subject ourselves to them. So what are these governing authorities? They can be police. They can be presidents. They can be governors. Whoever God has appointed, notice that it is God who has appointed these men for the times in which we are living, but they are in place to do good. So we know that they are in place by God. By the way, it calls them his ministers. Do you know that that's the exact same word that's used for a church deacon? And I think that's very interesting because when I see police officers in the past, I have actually thanked them that you're serving God. Because they are there, as it says within our context, to keep the peace, but also to punish, that they don't bear the sword in vain. And so they're there for our good. And you and I, as believers, we need to accept that authority and to obey that authority. For in not obeying that authority, you are disobeying God. And this is a very interesting concept, and we're going to be talking about a couple of things tonight. I hope you have your thinking caps on, because I think some of this is very, very practical into the days in which we are living now. Many people have many questions these days about governing authorities and what do we do and what do we don't do and what can we do and what shouldn't we do and all these conversations. But again, the Bible is very clear that these are God's ministers for good. And you and I are to do good so that we don't have to live with a bad conscience or fear of wrath. You know, how many times have you been driving down the road and all of a sudden you see a copper behind you? And if you're speeding, none of you do that, I know that. But if you're speeding, what happens? You tense up, don't you? You get scared because you know you're about to receive the wrath. And rightfully so. Now, this idea of authorities, particularly let's talk police. I remember, was it last year? These years are all meshing together. But last year, how many of you remember the riots? And I remember this verse, and I remember thinking to myself, these riots will not last forever. And why was I so confident to know that? Because I knew that they were fighting against God. And God quenched it. He always does. It never lasts forever. Because when you come up against the authorities, I don't care who you are, Christian or non-Christian, you're fighting against God. You're not going to win. It'll never last. It might last for a little bit, but eventually it'll be quenched. Because these are God's ministers to protect us and to punish evildoers. And so we're there to support them. This idea of, and I don't know if I understand all things, so forgive me if I don't understand all aspects of these new ways of thinking, but this idea of defund the police, that's from the pit of hell. Because these are God's ministers for your good. Now, I'm not here to question the fact that there might be some bad apples among the lots, right? But that's not the subject of tonight's debates. That's for another discussion. But what is in discussion tonight is the fact that you and I are to be law-abiding citizens. And we are to obey the authorities because they are God-appointed, God-given. And that's how it is. And if you are to be a good model citizen as a believer in Christ and shine among people, you'll be a law-abiding citizen. Now, I think the question might arise, is there ever a time when we disobey the law? How many of you would say yes? Okay. How many of you would say never? Well, some of you didn't even raise your hand the first time, so I'm taking that as a undecided. The scriptures, make no mistake about it, are filled with different examples in which the people of God disobeyed the authorities. But yet, when was that acceptable, if ever acceptable? That's if these laws directly contradict something that God has told us to do in His Word. Okay? That's when, as we know even from the book of Acts in the New Testament, do you remember that? The early apostles in Jerusalem were being hassled by the religious Jews. And they told them not to speak in this name. And they kept speaking Jesus. They kept preaching Jesus. And they got arrested again. And what was their response? They said, "Didn't we not strictly command you not to teach in this name?" But Peter and the other apostles answered, "We ought to obey God rather than man." And so in that case, it was very cut and dry. You make a law, I can't talk about Jesus? Well, God wants me to proclaim the gospel. So we'd rather obey God than men. There's a clear example. I think of another example. Again, we're talking about, is there any times in which you are able to disobey the law of the land? I think in the Old Testament scriptures, do you remember the first chapter in the book of Exodus? Children of Israel are in terrible bondage. They're slaves in a foreign land. And God had blessed them so much that they began to multiply. So much so that Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, got concerned and he said, "You know, what if, you know, these people that are getting so strong, what if one day they side with our enemies and then we're doomed?" And so he put a decree out that every male born among the Hebrews must die. And we know that the midwives, those that helped to deliver babies, they disobeyed. And God commended them because it said that they feared God, that they would not kill babies. So there was an example right there. The book of Daniel, a number of occasions these guys disobeyed the decrees that were given by Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of Babylon, and others. And so we can see that there are certain times in which you'd much rather obey God than men, as long as it's clear. All right, now, let's really stir it up tonight, huh? Think about our modern time. A lot of chatter, huh, about these mandates, these decrees. Many people have some very strong opinions about them, and rightfully so. But I don't know that you're able to use a scriptural base, I mean a scripture, a precedent, if you will, something in God's law particularly that would be violated if you didn't wear a mask or if you didn't get the vaccine. I'm just not too sure about that. There's a lot of debate. We could talk about certain issues, ins and outs about those things. But let's just pull back a little bit. And I do see in scripture another sort of precedent set by Paul the Apostle. Do you remember, at least on two occasions I can think of, where Paul the Apostle didn't use a scriptural basis, but what he did was he pulled out his Roman citizen card. "You beat me, an uncondemned Roman?" Do you remember that one? And they got scared. They thought, "Oh my gosh, we didn't tell us you were a Roman. You've got some rights here." He says, "Absolutely." And then another time, he pulled out the citizenship card and he said, "I appeal to Caesar. I'm going to Rome." So there wasn't a biblical precedent, but there was a sort of a privileged position being a citizen of Rome. And I say, that's probably more where we want to stand as you being an American. You have a lot of privileges that the rest of the world does not have. They're called constitutional rights. And I'm not here to get political, but I am telling you, that's what you want to stand up to. That's what you got to stand up to. Because this is the United States of America. And you've got a constitutional right to certain privileges and rights. Now, if you want to forfeit them up and live in a different type of a country, that can be arranged, but I wouldn't recommend it. But all I'm trying to point to you in this chapter here is that we need to obey. And if you don't have a scriptural basis for disobeying, you better watch it. But what about Paul the Apostle? using his citizenship card. I'm a Roman citizen. And it helped him in certain situations. He couldn't say, well, I just object the synagogue. We don't believe in that. But he did use his citizenship. So things to think about. I only throw them out to you. You can throw them out too. But I think this is a very opportune time for us. See, you're a Christian first. I hope you know that. At least you should be. And you're an American second. But you're a very privileged Christian to live in this place. Some of you know that better than others. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about because this is all you've ever known. But you're a Christian first. If you're a believer, if you're born again, you want to be a believer. And how can you be a believer in these days? Well, it says here again, therefore being subject to them, not only for wrath's sake, but also for a good conscience. Paul the Apostle would say, I do everything I can to live in a good conscience toward God and man. That's the place of power and authority, right? There's nothing worse than a guilty, heavy conscience. Would you agree? A guilty conscience. You're wiped out, man. You're no good for nothing. I'm no good for nothing when you have a guilty conscience. And so concerning following the law, you know, you don't want to go in the shop and steal and, you know, do all these things and have a guilty conscience knowing that they're coming for you any day. Paul says, no, that's not the way a Christian should live. And we understand that. And so he says, because of these things, because of obeying the authorities at hand, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending, verse 6, continually to this very thing. So that's how they function. They function with our tax money. Now, again, there's things to be discussed here too, you know. We understand that that's how they function. They spend our money. They are supposed to be for providing good government for the people. But then sometimes they'll take some of our monies and they'll spend it on things that we may disagree with, and that's a whole other conversation. But Paul's simply saying, as Jesus would say, render unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and render unto God those things which are God's. And so this is the reason why we pay taxes, so that we can have good government. And you know what? We have good government here. We don't have perfect government, but we have a good government here. And we got checks and balances, and we're kind of going through some wrenchings right now. But if you know anything, I think I've learned more about American government over the last 4 years than I ever learned in high school. Anybody else? It's like, how does this work again? That kind of work, you got to do this, and it's got to go through there. But again, paying taxes to keep the government flowing, this is why we do it, because they are also God's ministers. Think about that. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? Render, therefore, verse 7, their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs are due. Fear to whom fear is due. And honor to whom honor is due. So, it makes perfect sense. We are to be respectable. Now, this is something that I think some of us need to really kind of hone in on. Is it God glorifying for any of us to get on social media and rant and rave and say all kinds of manner of mean things against anybody? That's not Christian, no. That's devilish. Yet I know believers who are posting nothing but terrible comments about people. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't say something, right? But you don't have to be mean and nasty. In fact, if you're a Christian, you should not be mean and nasty. You can speak. You can share your advice, your perspective, absolutely. But you don't have to be mean and nasty. And I wish more Christians would obey this, particularly in this time. Because God wants us to be honoring those who have honor. For instance, you ever go to judge, before a judge, what do we call him? Your Honor. Your Honor? It's because you realize he's a man of authority. He's a judge over you. He can give you the sword. He can give you 40 years. He can give you anything he wants to. He's a God, small g, over you. And you honor him. You don't disrespect a judge. You don't disrespect a president. You don't disrespect a governor. You don't disrespect a mayor as a believer. Now, if you're not a believer here, have at it, man. You're the devil's kid anyways. You know, seriously, I mean, what would you expect from the devil's kids? Devilish activity. But if you're a child of God, don't be the devil's kid and do his job and his bidding. It's demonic. It's absolutely demonic and wrong. And I got scripture here to prove it. Render taxes, render honor, render customs. You know, I've flown a lot. You come into, you know, customs at some international, when you're coming back from some international airport or something, you know, do you have anything to declare? They might ask you. And if I'm living a Christian life, I would have to declare whatever it was I should have declared. Thank God I've never had to really declare anything, other than I declare I had a great time. It's a joke. But seriously, this is it. Honor where honor's due. Taxes where taxes are due. Customs where customs are due. Or not to owe any man anything. Now, the idea here is not to own any man. It doesn't mean that you can't, take out a car loan or a mortgage or these types of things. It's not being continually indebted to anyone. You know, how many people, they say, yeah, I'll pay you back, and it's been 2 years, and you kind of just thought to yourself, they're not a person of integrity at all. I probably will never see my money again. You and I as believers aren't supposed to be that type of person. You're to owe no man anything but to love. Think about that. You're just a man or a woman of your word. Your yes be yes, your no be no. Anything else is from the evil one, Jesus said. You're to be a man or a woman of your word. When your yes is yes, it means yes. When it's no, it means absolutely no. So you're ought to owe no man anything but to love one another. It says, whoever loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, Jesus himself said, remember? He said, in this, love the Lord thy God and love your neighbor as yourself, you know, with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On this lay, or what did he say? He said, you can commit all the law and the prophets. It's all surmised in this idea of love. For if I love you, I'm not going to, as it says here, break these commandments. You shall not murder, or you shall not commit adultery, verse 9. You shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. For if there is any other commandment, are all not summed up in the same, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If I loved you, I'm not going to treat you in these ways. I'm not going to violate you sexually. I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to lie about you. Those are all loving, unloving things to do. And as we're going to see in a moment, they're very selfish and self-centered actions. They're not loving actions at all. And so you and I are to love one another. And so in a practical way of loving somebody, you don't do those things to them. That's not a very loving way to act toward anybody. Love does no harm to their neighbor. Therefore, this kind of love fulfills the law. And do this, verse 11, knowing the time that it is high time that we wake out of our sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. It's high time to wake up. Man, How many times have I had to wake up? You know, I'm not too sure if people understand this or not, but you know, this idea of the Book of Revelation, there's seven letters to seven different churches. Do y'all remember at least that part? And if you continue to go through the letters, it's very interesting. They kind of correspond to epics of church history, if you will. And if that be the case, we are in the Laodicean church. And if you remember the Laodicean church, they were lukewarm. And I'm not too sure about your experience with the Lord, but I have to constantly fight this lukewarmness. You're neither hot on fire for the Lord, you're not cold, you're just sort of lukewarm. And we know lukewarm is just not a really great place. It's a terrible place to be, actually. And it's like, wake up, for your salvation is closer than when you first believed. Now, that's true for everybody in this room, chronologically speaking, right? I've been saved 20 some odd years. I can't remember, almost 30 years. I've been a Christian, born again. Some of you are 5, 10 years old in the Lord. You know, chronologically, age speaking too, maybe, you know, you're at the end of your life. You know, a lot of times people think they're going to live a long, full life. But let's say you're 30 and you're only going to live to 40. You've got only 10 more years left. You're already way past old age. Let's say you're 50 and you live to 90. You're middle-aged. You know, you get what I mean? It's like, how are you judging your time? Well, in the Lord, in your life, it's time to wake up. And you know what? I'm very thankful for everybody that's here tonight. Because there's still a pulse. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have a pulse. Do you know what I mean? Would you say amen to that? You know, that's why I'm here, brother. And you're to be commended. But, you know, we need to encourage each other, don't we? We need to encourage each other and say, hang in there. Let's pray for you. I know it's hard. I know things are troubling right now. I know it's scary. I know there's temptations on every angle and every side, you know. But let's pray for each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's get through this, you know. And this is what we need to do for each other. And this is what you're doing here by being here tonight. But it's time to wake up. I can't tell you. Well, let me put it like this. I have seen certain people through social media, and I look at their lives and what they're engaged in, and I think, you're sleeping. You're sleeping. And what he's talking about here is that the night's almost spent, meaning the day of darkness, which is now this age in which we live, where Satan rules and reigns. Not in the full sense, but, you know, he's the small g god of this world. Okay, you know that about Satan? God's the sovereign above it all. Praise his name. He's the one who's in the full control. But yet, we got this thing going on, darkness. But one day, as it says, wake up because the day's almost over. I mean, the night's almost over and the day is approaching. One day we're coming into the light, man. The lights are going to turn on in a big way. Right now the lights aren't fully on. And what do we have to deal with? We have to deal with some darkness sometimes, don't we? We have to deal with darkness. And you know, isn't it funny how many people do evil things in the dark? You know, have you ever checked out like bars? They're really dark. Evil things like darkness, under the cover of darkness, you know. And now we're just about to celebrate one of the darkest days of all the year. Make no mistake about that either. That's the reality of the darkness. By the way, I would like to bring this up because this is a high month for witchcraft. And if you've been feeling in a funk, if you've been going through some temptations, if you've been wondering, why am I so troubled? Well, just know this month is a very high month for witchcraft. It is as real as your God is real. It is as real as the angelic hosts are real. There are forces of darkness that we wrestle against, and they're being summoned in a very profound way this month. Be not ignorant of Satan's devices. How many of you feel like this month's been kind of weird? Yeah, all three of you? Okay. It's true. It's the darkness. But praise God, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It might hurt a little bit, might disturb, might mess with me a little bit, because we do wrestle. Do you know that you wrestle? Unless you're asleep. You're not wrestling if you're asleep. But if you're awake and you're engaged in the war, because we're in a battle. And the battle is just like heating up, isn't it? God help us. God help me. To remain awake, because the night is nearly spent. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now, we got this day-night analogy. We got you there, right? We understood that. The night is this day and age in which we live. It's nighttime, but the day is approaching. And then we've got these clothes. There are certain clothes that you should take on and take off. Like, I should take this off because it's really hot right now. But you're to take off the works of darkness. And I think that's a very interesting kind of a picture, isn't it? Cheers. It's a very interesting picture. Because it's this taking off of something, but then putting something back on. And Paul the Apostle uses this all the time as an analogy. He would say, you know, put off and put on. Put off the works of darkness, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on, as it says here, take off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light. That's right living. That's living in the light. And that's where the power comes from, is when I'm living in the light. When I'm not, as it's going to warn us, not living in improper ways, but walking properly as in the day, like in the light, not in revelry, orgies, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, not in strife and envy. That's amazing that he would have to tell us that, wouldn't it? If you're in sexual immorality, stop it. Wake up, right? Isn't that weird how we can just fall asleep? And we just think, yeah, I'm just sleeping with everybody these days. Or I'm watching pornography regularly. It's too easy. Cast off the works of darkness, right? And you know, this is a battle that's everybody's. There's nobody unique to any of this stuff. This is stuff that people are dealing with in this room. I know this. The sexual immorality, the lewdness, the drunkenness, these types of allurements that if we're not careful, we can get sucked back into. I came out from all that stuff. Now, maybe it's a little bit more simple for me. I don't know. Versus somebody that never even engaged in any of those things. You know what I mean? Maybe. But I know that you're just as wicked as anybody else. Because we're all wicked to the core. And so I have these two natures warring against. I have the flesh and the spirit. That's the reality on the ground here. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to put off those things of darkness, and we're trying to put on the armor of light, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, remembering the presence of the Lord with you. You know, being sharp. You know, I don't know how many of you ever practice or engage in a time of fasting, but I would encourage you to do so. It's saying, I am going to deny the flesh, something that I enjoy doing three times a day, and I'm going to use that time that I would normally be indulging my flesh to do a spiritual activity of prayer, something of seeking the Lord. And what does that do for you? Oftentimes it gives you that clarity of mind and heart You know, have you ever had this fog, you know, that you might be living with? It's just a mental fog. Some of it's brought on by things that we do. Other things it's brought on by diet. Sometimes it's brought on by other factors. I understand that. But, you know, this clarity of heart and mind, the light, walking in the light, being on spiritually. I don't know of any other practice for me that will help me to recalibrate. You know, control, alt, delete. You ever do that? Spiritually? It's like, we need to do a control, alt, delete. I don't know how many times I need to do control, alt, delete. It's just a complete reset. Casting off those works of darkness, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, making no provision for, notice, the flesh to fulfill the desires thereof. Now, you know what, Caleb, could you give me my phone? I wanted to read this particular portion from the 11th verse through the 14th verse in the NLT. Does somebody have the NLT here tonight? Yeah. I just thought it was kind of interesting to read another version and how it put. It says, this is all the more urgent, verse 11 in the NLT. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day and we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity or immoral living or in quarreling or jealousy. Isn't that interesting that he puts quarreling and jealousy in with sexual sin? I don't know, but I had a thought on it. It's because these sins are completely self-absorbed, selfish, narcissistic in their nature. It's all what you want. And when you don't get it, it's not a good day for you. We need to yield to the Spirit of God and say, that's the old me. I have a new nature now, and I want to do that. Instead, I'm going to clothe yourself, it says, with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. It's pretty clear. This is the real stuff here, I think. Man, you got to get good doctrine down, right? We got to get a good understanding. Who are you in Christ? What has Jesus done for you? Well, if you don't know that, you need to know that. We just got done talking about that in the first 11 chapters. But now this is just who you are. This is who I am. I'm a child of the light. I can't walk in darkness. Oh, sure, I can backslide. I can participate in things that I shouldn't because I know they're wrong. It's not really being true to who I am anymore. That was the old Ben. You wouldn't like the old Ben. Well, some of you might have. But that's not who I am. I'm this new creature in Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things become new. And that's the nature that we want to build up, right? I love how Paul the Apostle would say, let's know no man after the flesh. I don't want to know you after the flesh. I want to know you after the Spirit. Oh, you love Jesus? Praise God, me too. What's he doing in your life? How are you doing? Oh, you're praying through that, yeah, I'll join with you. We'll see the Lord give a victory here. You know, it's these wonderful things, being a Christian. So much good to focus on is, I guess what I'm trying to say, focus on the good stuff, right? Not on the bad stuff, not on the negative stuff. Just cast that stuff aside, right? Just lay it aside. Don't think about it, don't dwell on it. It's all under the blood of Jesus Christ, right? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the reality. I don't want to know what's under the blood. I want to encourage us today. And all the more so as we know that salvation's coming. Now, we're talking about individual salvation coming upon death. That's when you graduate, right? You go straight to be with the Lord. But we're living in such a time that we could be at the end of the age. And there's all kinds of things that are developing. Primarily, you want to always keep your attention focused on the Middle East. That's what you really want to keep a finger on. That's really what you want to keep watching. And if you know anything that's going on, it's all being set up. It's an amazing situation, really. But, you know, we're so introspective, aren't we? It's just us, and it's just America, and we forget that there's anybody else in the world, almost, you know? But if you really want to know where you're at, what's going on, watch Israel, watch the Middle East, know your scriptures which pertain to these things, and you see it all being set up even now. It could be that the night is fully spent, that the day's coming. And so I need your encouragement. You need each other's encouragement, right? To live in the day, forsaking those works of darkness. I was just at a Bible study this last week, and anyways, the text at hand was Hebrews. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, it's not a sprint we're in. It's a marathon. It's a long haul. And, you know, that requires endurance. Requires perseverance. And sometimes we get tired. We get tired in well-doing, right? Or am I the only one? Well, that's why we got to encourage each other. But laying aside the weights, the sin. There is a difference between a weight and a sin. A weight can be something good, too. You know, I always have to be bad things. But let us lay aside every weight and sin, and the weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that's what we want to do tonight. We want to reaffirm that commitment. Maybe you need strength for the battle. It's been tough. Well, guess what? That's what we're here for. We're here to pray for each other and say, you know, I'm just a little weary right now. And I need to get back up. I need to wake up. I need to go forward. I want to participate in this race that I'm in. It's not so much how you start as it's how you finish. How many people you know started so well and they're just gone? I don't care. Maybe you started really well and then you had a few falls and you went down. But you know what? You're back up. That's what we're talking about tonight. Getting back up, putting on those new clothes, and just going for it. Not being that Laodicean church. Resisting that thing. And I can't do it alone. I need friends. I need people to pray for me. And that's okay. That's what we're here for. You know, I think how many people are just trying to do it alone? Well, the Christian walk is never to be meant to be done alone. That's not how it works. And maybe you're discovering that the hard way. Yeah, man, I feel like I'm all alone. Yeah, because you don't share anything with anybody. You know? And if you're walking in love, you understand. Yeah, man, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. I'm your brother in the Lord. I want to see you do well. I want to do well. Pray for me too. Because this is getting kind of hot and heavy, huh? And I don't know that it's going to get any easier. could even actually get worse. But you know what? We're here tonight, and we're being reminded, you know, I do need to wake up. And I want to go forward. I want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I need every provision to walk the way that I need to walk. And then you get to experience the Lord Jesus in ways that you never would before. So may the Lord bless you and strengthen each and every one of us tonight. Because we all need it. We're all in the same battle. And if you're a Christian here tonight, we're on the same team. I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. So many times, isn't it? You feel like, gosh, I thought these guys were Christians. Right? Well, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder too. Scratch my head. But you know what? I can only run the race that I'm supposed to run. You can only run the race that you're supposed to run. But are you doing it? Am I doing it? So let's pray. Father, again, we're thankful for these words, Lord. Thank you that you want us to be civil, obedient children to the governing authorities. Thank you that you have perfected these things for our good. Lord, we pray for those that are in authority above us. Lord, we ask that you would give them wisdom and help, Lord, to govern well. Lord, we pray for our police officers, our military men and women, both of them, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would defend them, that you would strengthen them, and that, Lord, we might be a blessing to each and every one that we run into, and remind them that they're ministers of God. And then, Lord, we just pray that you would give us the grace to take off those filthy robes, those dirty laundry, if you will, Lord, dirty clothes, and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the armor of light. Give us grace and strength for the battle, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life